This is the Positive Chats Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Briggs, and joining me this morning on the Positive Chats Podcast, Pastor Jeffrey A. Smith. He is a musician, a writer, a director, a producer. He can come and fix the plumbing in your house if you have a problem, probably. I don't know. He does a lot of things, but he is joining us this morning to talk about his new film, Southern Gospel. Jeffrey, welcome to the Positive Chats Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on, Tommy. I appreciate what you guys are doing, and thank you for taking some time to talk with me. I can definitely not help plumbing, but no plumbing at all.
You can sing to us while we're doing the plumbing.
Yes, I can sing. I can sing while you're doing plumbing.
Now, you were, just to get a little background on you before we get into your movie, but you were recording artist on Mer Records in the early 90s?
Yes, I was, when I was 17, signed my first record deal. I was with the first Christian teen band that was called Area Code. Two guys and two girls. We were doing really good, top 40 songs. And one of the girls in our group won Miss America in 1993, Leanza Cornett. And so that kind of messed our group up a little bit. So I went and became I got a solo deal with Word and did some records there. So that was my introduction into music.
Very cool. And you've done a lot of writing for a lot of different artists. And that kind of, I suppose that kind of led, you started doing music videos and directing those. Did that kind of lead into that?
It really did. Actually, becoming a music producer, I think, planted the seed of wanting to direct, because I was working with a lot of great musicians, learning how to take really talented people and kind of use their creativity to organize songs. And it kind of helped me learn a little bit about directing, to translate that over into images and film. And that kind of planted the seed to want to tell stories through films.
So, I mean, I imagine there's, in the creative process, there's a lot of overlap, but also some differences. How different is it to, you know, produce a record as opposed to directing a movie? What are the similarities, and what are the things that maybe you kind of had to learn and say, oh, there's a little learning curve here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that records are a little more simple, less people involved, but you're still working. If you're producing well, you're working with extremely talented artists that it's sort of your job to let them shine. I think in my early years as a music producer, I would want everything to be my way, but then I started learning if I'm going to get the best out of these musicians, I need to let them do what they're great at. So I think I learned that. I translated that to directing. Number one, directing our film, we had over 285 people involved in this film. So it's hiring great people that are passionate about the script and organizing things and staying, knowing when to stay away and let people just do their job and be good at what they're doing to fulfill the vision.
So with that many people, did it feel like wrangling cats at times?
No, it didn't, because it was so organized. My producers that I was working with were so great and had done some just incredible films. I mean, you know, I was working with people who have tons of experience and worked with some of the, you know, David Lynch, you know, incredibly big movies over the years. So it was, I just kind of was trying to stay in my lane and let people do what they're doing.
Let them do that. You do you.
Yes.
So, and a personal movie for you. Tell us a little bit about the story here, because it's obviously a very personal story for you.
It is. This is the story that's inspired by my parents' life story. I grew up in churches across America. My parents were evangelists, and my dad was a former rock and roll star that was facing 25 years in jail for possession of drugs. And the charges were dropped, and the judge ordered him in the state of Alabama in the late 1960s to go. And the charges were dropped under the condition he would go tell kids about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. And when he and my mom started going to these gymnasiums, churches, places like that, and sharing their story, just people packed these places, and it turned into, you know, they got married. And the first 5 years of my life, I grew up in those churches. So I wanted to write a story, a movie telling the story of my life and my parents' life and the things I experienced, the little piece of Americana with the kind of music I grew up with, some of the challenges he faced, not only personally and internally within his marriage, but also, you know, dealing with a lot of, you know, kind of politics of the church world back then and the way things felt back in that time period.
So the movie is called Southern Gospel. So so what was your dad's name? Was he in a band, or was he just a solo artist?
Yeah, my dad was in a band in the 1960s, and they, you know, toured with some really big acts, the Animals, the Rolling Stones, a big thing they played with. And you know, he's not a famous guy personally, but his story is a story that I think a lot of people can relate to. And yeah, it just was an incredible journey of telling the story.
And he, if I'm understanding correctly, he grew up in the church, right? Didn't he grow up in the church and then kind of some things happened that really soured him on the church?
Yeah, I think without revealing too much, I can say kind of what happened. I mean, he went through an event where he kind of got blamed by a church leader for something that he didn't do. He didn't know how to swim because his church, he wasn't allowed to swim. And through a tragedy where he wasn't able to save someone, he got blamed for something publicly. And it really turned him against the church. And, you know, so he went on this several years of, you know, taking his talents. He'd grown up a really good boy serving in his dad's church and, you know, just became this sort of bitter kind of rock star. And I think he hit a wall there, realizing he couldn't save himself. And that's when he really turned back to God and started seeking his purpose. His destiny was to be like his dad and to eventually have a church of his own where he could reach people that were just as broken, as lost as he was at one time.
So in the movie, where do you pick up his story at?
We actually start with him as a kid. The movie starts out with Samuel and his father, and they're on the way to church, and he's struggling with the death of his mom. His mom died while giving birth to his what would have been his little brother, and his dad. And there's a little tension there between father and son, and it's pretty epic story that sprawls from the 1950s to the late 80s, where we end telling his story. Just growing up in church, we see the whole thing unfold.
Now, you mentioned talking about the challenges that he had, the challenges he had in his marriage. How hard is that? Because you're not just writing this as, oh, this is a really interesting character. This is dad, right? This is dad, right?
Exactly.
And, everybody has dad wants. We want dad to be great and to be the hero.
So right.
So how difficult was that for you to wrestle with his humanity?
Yeah.
And maybe have to deal with that image of dad and that image of him just as a human being.
It's a great question, Tommy. I think that's very perceptive of you too, because I think in the early iterations, I wrote the script almost 15 years ago. So this has been a whole long journey. And I think the early iterations of the script, a lot of really professional producers and people that had read a lot of scripts, they didn't really identify with his character too much, because I think I was afraid of putting a lot of the flawed sides of his personality in. So I realized I had to work on that character. So I went back to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, what if I tell a lot more, darker elements of the story?" And he's like, "Well, I never told you not to begin with." He's like, I was a messed up guy from the beginning. Just go ahead and tell it." So I think I just tried to, make it. It was that point I felt the freedom to say, my dad's life wasn't a G-rated story. My family's life wasn't a G-rated story. And I felt like it maybe would help connect the story with some people to make it a little bit more a gritty, more visceral approach to how a church might get started. There's 150,000 churches in America. You pass one almost every day. Sometimes we don't really think about how hard was it? What was the struggle? What was the dream? Who gave up their dream? Who had to sacrifice something to have this place? And this is just one of those stories.
Now, I don't want you to give away too much of the story, but obviously you're dealing with that transition. I want to ask you to tell the events. I don't want you to give away too much. But what are some of the themes that you deal with as you deal with that transition from, here's this moment of grace,
yes,
maybe talk about the impact of that on him. And then what are some of the themes you deal with along that way of transition?
That's another great question. I think that some of the themes that we deal with in this are how to overcome, maybe the kinds of mistakes in your life that you feel like you don't feel like you deserve a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think then also we're dealing with a lot of themes of forgiveness. How do you let go of bitterness that you have toward leaders that have done you wrong, things like that? How do you stay? And also another theme is my mom was abused growing up by her father, and she loved my dad, and my dad was very kind to her and was the first person that ever made her feel safe, but she didn't understand how to talk to him about a lot of the things that she was going through. So it's sort of him not learning at a later time the things she'd been through and not being prepared not having the information to know how to help. So it's just learning how to love her through that. And that's part of their love story as well. There are themes of addiction in the film, really brutal kind of elements of things that happened to friends that my dad didn't know how to save and didn't know how to help. And but a lot of redemption in the movie as well. So I think those are some of the main themes.
And obviously, there's a lot of folks out there. You know, I'm a pastor myself, so I deal with a lot of people who have come out of bad situations in churches. Maybe there was an abusive spiritual culture there. Maybe just bad situations happened. Obviously, it sounds like a film that could maybe speak to folks who've gone, have experienced that. Maybe they're still kind of trying to process that.
I hope so. I think that for me, when I was growing up, I was really drawn toward films. I love, you know, Robert Duvall's movie, The Apostle. I remember when I saw that movie, kind of gave me a true look at some of the flawed elements of someone who is on a journey. And I thought, that'd be really interesting to tell a story like that. That really connected with me. So maybe for the people out there that would be drawn toward a kind of film that is willing to talk about some more difficult issues, it would broaden the audience a little bit to some people, maybe who are even not, you know, faith people who are on the outside that just want to look. I think one of the things I love about our movies, when I was searching for my cinematographer, I was talking and interviewing someone that was from Europe who was a very well-known, famous cinematographer. And he read the script and he said, "I'm an atheist." He goes, "But I'm weeping right now." He goes, I've never seen these kinds of stuff. I don't know anything about church. He's like, "But I love Samuel. I love his story." I ended up not working with this guy for scheduling reasons. But so I love the idea that this story could reach an audience that's kind of not the traditional audience that maybe would see a movie like this and maybe connect with them in a real way.
And I think this is something that actually Christian movies are getting better at. But we've been so busy with the message sometimes that we miss just that human connection, just showing real people in real situations dealing honestly with things. Yes, in a way that maybe they're trying to live out their faith, but also just dealing with real life. And those human and personal stories, I think, sometimes get buried under the message.
I agree with you, Tommy. I think also for me, this sounds kind of strange, but I mean, it wasn't really my goal to make a Christian movie per se. I, as a Christian myself and a person of faith that feels very missional with what I do in my life, I was trying to make a piece of art that reflected a true story that is the stories about faith. And my dad is a faith person who had a lot of problems along the way. So I think the art of it was really important to me and my team that we make something that had a high level of excellence and you could stand on its own and just kind of leave it for people to interpret it and hope that people come away really encouraged and really hopeful and really inspired, you know, that they don't have to give up on their dreams and there's redemption out there for anyone.
And I think that's true even in the wider cinema, not just Christian cinema. We all know there's message movies out there, right? And it's just like, it could be an environmental message. It could be a political message, right? And if that's all you get, it's just like pound you over the head and you're like, oh, this is dull.
Right.
You know, making that human connection is really, isn't it, where it's, I mean, with music, with
movies, oh, for sure.
Making that human connection.
I believe that thoroughly. I think that God has given us art, and I think that for many years the church was, they were on the forefront and the cutting edge of brilliant art. But I think that somewhere along the way, maybe we kind of lost the ability to have things that every little piece of art doesn't always, you know. For instance, I'm a painter, and I've got to meet a lot of really great artists over the years through painting. And you know, every person doesn't always paint the exact same thing where it's all wrapped up with a little bow. Sometimes there's a series that someone will do, and you have to see the whole series to get the bigger picture, but every part of it tells a story. So I don't think as artists that we have to shy away from telling things that contain elements of faith and that can stand on their, don't have to stand on their own, but there's a context to them that give people a little piece of the puzzle. If that piece of the puzzle is hope, if it's redemption, if it's forgiveness, then that all tells a part of the bigger story.
You're like a Renaissance man. You're painting, you're making music, you're making movies.
I love art. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
There's just that part of you.
Huh? Yes.
So we're talking with Jeffrey Smith. The movie is Southern Gospel, based on his parents' life and their adventures to go through. One of the things, you know, as we were talking, I was thinking, even as you're sharing the story, I was thinking back to like Victor Hugo, his great novel, Les Miserables.
Yes.
Where the central part of that novel, what really turns that novel, is an act of grace.
Mm.
And that's kind of what turns your dad's story here, is that act of grace. And I think that's one of the things we have as Christians, that we often don't understand. I don't know if we understand, because maybe I grew up in the church, right? So it's easy to become so familiar with things that we forget the power of them. But the power of grace, when it's shown in a natural, organic way,
yes,
that seems to have real power, because that certainly seems to be a key moment in this movie.
I couldn't agree more. I think that grace is a moment where you realize you don't deserve something, or you're helpless, and something beautiful happens despite that. And sometimes it's grace, sometimes it's vulnerability. I know my family right now, we're walking through something really difficult with my son, who got a diagnosis recently, 17 years old, that has really affected us in a massive way and changed our lives. And the vulnerability that I feel, and the grace that I feel from God, that he loves me, he cares for me, he loves my son, he loves my family, and my helplessness, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with him and his love for me. It teaches me more in these moments than I think I've learned cumulatively over the last decade about every other thing I've studied. Mm. So it is grace that that opens our hearts up to something beautiful. And it's a great reference to Les Miserables. Yes, that moment of grace is a pivotal point in that movie. And I think that you're spot on with our movie there. That moment of grace for Samuel is the moment that he realizes he's wasted a lot. As he says in the movie, he talks about the prodigal son. He says the word prodigal means it means wasteful. It doesn't mean wayward. It means wasteful. And when he comes to the realization that he had wasted the father's love that had been shown to him to that point in his life, he makes a determination that he never wants to waste it again.
Mm. And that really is what grace does, doesn't it? That's that moment where we really see the depth of God's love for us.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, as I said a moment ago, I'm kind of caught up in that wave of being reintroduced to that again, and the gratitude that I have for every moment that I have, the interactions I get with my family and my son, my wife, my kids, people get a chance to meet you. You know, it's just those moments of grace are not just nice; they're a necessity in our journey.
We're talking with Jeffrey Smith. Once again, the movie is Southern Gospel. Tell us, when is it out now? Is it coming out?
It comes out this Friday, March the 10th. You get some tickets at southerngospel.film or Fandango, AMC, Cinemark, wherever you are. Go get some tickets to Southern Gospel. Take groups. Your churches can take groups. I would suggest group tickets. I know that down here, our church has booked, I think, 10 different theaters or something. It's crazy.
They're helping awesome. Out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's southerngospel.film. Southerngospel.film. Go check that out. Find movie dates around us. And Jeffrey, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. If folks want to find out more information about other work you do, maybe about your painting, maybe about your music, do you have your own website that they can check out?
Yeah, they could check out jeffreysmith.com, or if they want to go to find out a little bit more about City of Life Church, col.tv, find out a little bit about me. But I'm not that interesting, to be honest with you. I just kind of do what I do, and I'm trying to do it as make best use of what gifts I've been given. But the movie's interesting. I think they're really going to like the movie.
Yeah, and once again, that website is southerngospel.film, southerngospel.film. Hey, Jeffrey, first of all, thank you so much. Hey, we'll be praying for your son. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much, Tommy. That was a great interview.